This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولًا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون كما قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وبعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أو كما قال السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise due to Allah Rabbul Alameen, the creator of all things, who create every one of us, Muslim, not yet Muslim, Arab, non-Arab, Malay, Chinese, Indian, are all the creation of the only one God that we all believe, Allah Rabbul Alameen. The sender of all prophets from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to Jesus, and the last messenger of Allah to all mankind, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the revealer of all truth, the one who revealed the Old Testament to Moses, the New Testament to Jesus, the last testament to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. To my respectful chairman, the chairperson of tonight's event, to all the organizing committees, brothers and sisters, students of knowledge, scholars, and also to my beloved brother, Sir Muhammad Qutb, who have shared with all of you about Nur al-Nur. We believe that tonight there is also a lot of Nur here. You have Nuraini, Nur Aisha, Nuru, Malaysian, alhamdulillah, we love to have the Nur in front, the sister's name, alhamdulillah. It's a beautiful name, yeah. Literally, Nur, we know that it means light. Now, when we talk about the night of Nur, in the Quran, Allah Rabbul Alameen mentioned this word many, many times. Even the Quran itself is a Nur, a light to guide all of us. Now, before we continue about this very important topic, I just like to remind myself and all the good brothers and sisters, when you talk about Nur, about light, you talk about guidance. When we talk about guidance, we talk about knowledge. We know that the first ayah that was revealed by Allah Rabbul Alameen is Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Allazi Khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. اقرأ ربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. The first ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed is to remind us the power of knowledge. Read. To read, you must have knowledge. And Islam is based on knowledge. It's not just a blind faith. In Surah Isra, Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us, وَمَا تَعْفُ مَا لَيْسَ وَلَا تَعْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. You are not supposed to do anything about Islam or say anything about Islam, I mean the meaning, without knowledge. وَلَا تَعْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. Don't talk about this religion of Allah without knowledge. Don't do anything about Islam under the platform of Islam without knowledge. Inna sam'a is because your hearing will be a witness against you. And to be a good student, to be a knowledgeable person, the first important thing all you have to do is, brother and sister, to listen. To be a good listener. Today you are a good listener. Tomorrow you become a good speaker. But if you do not want to be a good listener today, you will never become a good speaker. Sam'ah is a very powerful tool to gain knowledge. Listen. That's why the Prophet always said, "Usikum bittaqwallah." I remind all of you to be connected to Allah, to be close to Allah. Why? By doing that, when you are close to Allah, you will save yourself from a lot of problems. How to do that? As-sam'a. The Prophet said, be a good listener. Then what should you do after you listen? You must have the understanding, and then ta'ah, and act upon the knowledge. We know that today I was given a topic about Suratul Kahf. But before I come to Suratul Kahf, let me remind myself and all the good brothers and sisters how important for us as Muslims to have the right understanding towards our deen. Our deen is so special. It covers every aspect of our life, from the day you were born until you die, and your future after life. The Quran that Allah have revealed as a divine guidance, hudal, guidance, linnas, for mankind, not only for Muslim. Quran is not only for Muslim. Because Allah said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. Allah now said, هدى للعرب, هدى للملايوين, Pakistaniyun. No. He said, هدى للناس is a guidance for mankind. For my people, the Chinese, in China now you have 60 million of Muslims. Double the population of Malaysia. Back to history, if you go back to China, if the Malay would be in China today, the Chinese people would say, you saudara baru. You are reversed, because the Chinese Muslim are more pioneer than the Malay Muslim. The Chinese Muslim in Malaysia will be called by the Malay Saudara Baru. So happened. When I became a Muslim, until today, people still said I Saudara Baru. That was good. I never get Lama. I am a Baru man. Anyhow, brothers and sisters, knowledge is very, very important. But what is knowledge? Knowledge is not what I'm saying to you now. My opinion, your opinion, what the public say, what the majority say, that is not pure knowledge. There is opinion, ideas, my idea, your ideas, my opinion, your opinions can be right and can be wrong. But when we talk about knowledge in Islam, we are talking about pure knowledge. Pure knowledge is from Allah. Al-Wahyu, the revelation. There is pure knowledge. And also Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us about pure knowledge. Also is the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ma qala Allah is pure, 100% pure. From the day Quran was revealed until today. And Allah promised to protect the authenticity of this book until the day of judgment. Inna nahnu nazzalna zikran wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah said, we will reveal the last book, the Quran, and we will protect the authenticity of this book, that nobody can make any changes, nobody can make any plus or minus to this book known as Al-Quran. Alhamdulillah, Quran was revealed as a guidance, and now we talk about a bit of Suratul Kahfi. We know that our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did mention in one of the hadith, whoever recite just 10 ayah, the first 10 ayah, there's other hadith narration, or 10 last ayah of Suratul Kahfi. Of course, not just to recite, when the Prophet said, you recite, not only your lips are reciting, you are reciting with your mind and your heart. You are reflecting. You are responding to the Quran. It moves your heart. It will change your mindset. Because the Quran is a guidance. It's not just a storybook. If you recite this 10 ayah, the beginning of Surah Al-Kahfi or the last 10, the benefit, the significance, the reward, you will be protected from the most greatest trial that is going to take place soon is from the Dajjal. And Surah Kahfi is highly recommended by our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not only one night, but every day you can recite if you have the time, but at least once in a week. Yaumul Khamis Jumaat, known to the Muslim, Malam Jumaat. Our Malam Jumaat, now is, today is what day? Eh? Oh, Tuesday, I forgot, I thought Malam Jumaat also. Yeah? It's Tuesday night. Yeah? So Malam Jumaat, normally we, the majority of us, the Nusantara, will practice to recite Suratul Yasin. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talk about Surah Al-Kahfi. Or you recite in Yawmul Jumu'ah, if you can't do it the night of Jumu'ah, and you start on Yawmul Jumu'ah, so that Allah Rabbul Alamin will protect all of us from the fitan of Dajjal. When you talk about Dajjal, brother and sister, there are a few lessons that you can gain from Surah Al-Kahfi. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did mention in one of his hadiths the meaning of the saying the Prophet, that no prophet that was sent to his people that the Prophet do not remind them about the fitna of Dajjal. That means Dajjal is not just in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was been mentioned by the early prophets. From the time of Adam, he is the first prophet. Idris, the second prophet. The third one, Nuh, and the first messenger. Nuh is the first Rasul. Because Nuh have ummah, Adam alayhi salam don't have ummah, he have children. You don't call the children of Adam the ummah, he is the children of Adam. Idris don't have ummah. Nuh start to have ummah. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did remind us, there are many hadiths about this, I just want to make it very easy tonight because according to the time, I should start at 9:15 and end at 10:15. Actually, now is my ending, not my beginning. But qadr Allah wa ma sha'a. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet did mention about the fitan of Dajjal to the extent that the Prophet always remind his great ummah, us as Muslim. إِذَا تَشَهَدُ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَعِزْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعَ فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُنْذُ بِكَ مِنْ أَذَابِ جَهَنَّمْ وَمِنْ أَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَى وَالْمَمَاتِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيْهِ الدَّجَّالِ. الله أكبر. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind his great ummah, every one of us who are Muslim, when you establish your prayer, your namaz, your salah, do not end your salah. When you're making tashahud, tashahud is the ending of your recitation, then you are going to give salam. But do not end your shahad, the tashahud, until you seek refuge in Allah from four things. So say, after innaka hamidun majid, then you should say, Allahumma inni, brothers and sisters, if possible, follow me to recite this tonight. I will share with you why this is so important. Let us recite this together. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam wa min adhabi al-qabr wa min fitnatil mahya وَالْمَمَاتِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيْهِ الدَّجَّالِ. Ameen. May Allah accept it. The Prophet remind his ummah each time when you are worshipping Allah, when you are connected to Allah, don't just end your prayer without reciting this dua before salam. Whether you are performing the fardu prayer or the sunnah prayer, ask Allah, be humble. Ask Allah to save all of us from hellfire. We do not want to go to hell. Anyone of here like to go to hell, brother and sister? No one. That's why you are here. And you ask the people outside the hall, are you going to hell? No. Nobody wants to go to hell. You go to Chowkit, you want to go to hell? No. You go to Bukit Bintang, you want to go? No. Everybody, Bukit Bintang, I'm going to the stars. No one want to go to hell. But are we asking Allah to protect us from hell? Yes. When you ask Allah to protect you from hell, what do you do? Should you do the work that save yourself from hell, or you are going to do an act that will bring you to hell? You must ask yourself, Oh Allah, save me from the torment of the grave. I do not want to be punished in the grave. And the punishment of the grave is not because of a major sins, no. Because of two sins. For the male, when you go for the call of nature, you do not clean yourself properly. You'll be punished in the grave. For the sisters who are not careful with what you say, gossiping, bad biting, slandering, what can you do? This is something very delicious. More delicious than sambal belacan, pudu, roja, pasombur, you know, durian. This is more delicious. Talking about people is something that we enjoy, but it's bad. And we ask Allah to protect us from the fitna when we are alive. In this life, we'll be tested. Like how all the prophet been tested. How the people of the cave, the young man was tested. We all know the story. If you wrote it, Surah Al-Kahfi, you know what happened to this young group of brothers. They want to be a believer, but their people, the surrounding are so corrupted. They want these children, this young man to follow them, but alhamdulillah, Allah saved this small group of people. And the best way for them to do is to migrate. Get when the environment is so bad, so corrupted, neither you can change the environment. You change yourself. You change, you save your own soul. You just get out. And they went into what? They went to a cave. And Allah Almighty, because their intention is so pure, they want to save their iman because they know that their iman is more valuable than anything in life. You have no money, you have no family, you have no degree, any diploma or degree, you have no problem. You can still enter paradise with one thing, iman. Because the Prophet said, لا تدخلون الجنة, لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. No one can enter paradise without iman. Without money, you can go. Allah don't ask you, where's your degree? Where's your qualification? MA, BA, engineer, doctor? No. Even you have invested millions of ringgit, Allah will not ask you this question. He will ask you, ما ربك? Who is your Lord? Who is your creator? You must know the one who created you. What is your religion? You must know. And who is your prophet? Simple question. You know, this question is being exposed to us 1,400 years ago. And answer also was given by the prophet. If you sit for an exam, even there is a saying, soalan bocor. Jawaban sudah dikasih. You fail. That means you are a failure. How can you fail? Yeah. Everything has been exposed to you. You can't fail this question. You should know how to answer. Mahya. Fitna in this life. This young man was tested, but they have to save their iman. They just move themselves, migrate themselves, hijrah, and went into a cave. Allah, that is the safest environment at that time. And Allah, because of their good intention, Allah made them sleep. For how long? For how long, brothers and sisters? How long do they sleep? 3 hours? 30 hours? 300 hours? Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahfi, Allah make them sleep 309 years. No sleeping pill? No. Just went into the cave to save their iman. They discussed among themselves, the brothers, and Allah also gave them a guard, a dog. So dog is not a bad animal. Yeah. Don't worry about the letter D-O-G because there's halal dog. Yeah. They also have halal dog. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. When they woke up, somebody must, you know, when you are asleep, normally, alhamdulillah, you don't feel hungry. Normally. My people, the Chinese said, you must have supper before you sleep. Because if you die with your belly full, husnil khatima, you die in peace. It's a good ending. But if you die with an empty stomach, su'il khatima, bad ending. Yeah. As long as you can eat, eat, no problem. There's nothing wrong to eat, but normally we don't encourage you to eat so late because it's not healthy for you. Yeah. They woke up, they need to eat, they need to drink. So they send somebody to go out and go and buy food. Allahu Akbar. They thought that they just slept for a few hours or few days, the most 309 years. How do they know that they were, yeah, they have been sleeping for so long? Because they brought with them their money. Can you imagine after 300 years, I don't know what kind of money you're using? You know, I remember my parents before. They say that when the Japanese came here, and then everything changed to Japanese currency, and they have one cupboard of Japanese yen. One cupboard. But after the Japanese left, when the British came in, these paper have no value anymore. Mm-hmm. 309 years. But at the end of the day, Allah Rabbul Alameen blessed these children. Save them to the extent Allah talked about them in the Quran. As a reminder for all the young people today, there will come a time you will be tested. What are you going to do? You go left, you go right, you go east, west, all are so corrupted. They are going to destroy your iman. They are going to stop you from practicing your deen. What can you do? You may have to make the same migration. Save your iman. Because your iman is more valuable than anything else in life. Because with iman, the Prophet said, you will enter paradise. That's all. This is what we have to prepare ourselves. When your iman is strong, brother and sister, you will never feel alone. There's no fear in you, inshallah. Allah will take up the fear in your heart towards so many things and put back your heart that you only fear the Creator, Allah, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. Alhamdulillah, you'll be protected by Him. There's a brief story about the people of the cave. You know? Because we are talking about those group of youngsters who was living within the disbelievers. We may encounter this today. We will be living among the disbeliever and those who are so corrupted, but you stay uncorrupt. Save yourself. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nar, yourself and your family from hellfire. Can we do that, brother and sister? Is that easy? Can you save yourself from gossiping? Can you do that? Can you stop that biting your sister? Can we do that, sister? I don't hear you. Is that hard? Is that a jihad? I'm not calling you to run into the cave. You don't have to run into the cave anymore. You just have your house, you have the room, you just go back. But can you make a little migration? You know why the Prophet say, Al-mu'min man ammana an-nas ala amwalihim wa anfusihim wal muhajir man hajara min al-khataya wa zunub. It's not difficult. They have no choice. But we were given a choice. You don't have to run away anymore. You can stay put because you are in a Muslim environment. But you'll be tested by Allah that your environment is corrupted. They are not disbelievers. They are just like you, but they are corrupted. Backbiters. Gossipers. Liar. What should you do? Because the Prophet said, a believer is a person who brings peace to everybody. People will feel very peaceful with you, with your presence. Your neighbor will feel peace, will find peace with you. The people who work with you will find peace in you. And you always bring benefit to others. A muhajir, a person who migrate, is a person who migrate from darkness to light. From ignorant to knowledge. From passive to proactive. From negative to positive. From destructive to constructive. And this is how you move forward. Can we do that, sisters? You know why I ask sisters? Because majority are sisters. And you can create a lot of fitna. But you can even save the man from all of fitna. Because our Prophet did mention in one of the hadith, the meaning of the saying of the Prophet, the day will come when Dajjal come out. When Dajjal is free, you know what the man have to do? One man may have to take care of 50 girls. 50. Not married 50, no. Married is always maximum 4. That also, they must have a lot of border already. If not, there will be a war zone. You know? But the Prophet said, one man is taking care of 50 ladies. That means his daughter, his mother, his auntie, his sister, his in-laws, as long as woman. You know what the men have to do with the woman, sisters? Do you know what is going to happen? Do you want to know? Next time, okay? One man have to take care of 50 ladies. And how do they take care? They will chain them at home. They will chain all the ladies. Do you know why? Because the Dajjal, the fitan of Dajjal, is the greatest fitan. And majority of the followers of Dajjal will be women. Why? Why we are the majority? Because now also we are majorities. You know, when they look at the population of the world today, the population of women is so huge. Only Allah knows best. Men die faster than women, number one. The ratio, if you look at men and women, the men die faster. Why? The men said because of the woman. The woman is one to make their hair turn gray very fast. Yeah. Put a lot of pressure, demand that until the man can't handle. Because the man love the woman so much. What you want, they give. What you want, they give. Until they can't give, they still give. Why? They want peace from you. And they always say that If you want to share your secret with anybody, share it with your man. Share it with your husband. Do you know why? Do you know why you can share your secret with your husband? Do you know why, sister? You don't know why. Good. Because most of you are not married yet. Do you want to know? Alhamdulillah. That is good. Yeah? You are listening. Alhamdulillah. You know why they said that if you want to share any of your secret, you share it with your husband, because when you are talking to your husband, most of your husband don't listen. They don't remember. They are dreaming. You can say anything. Later on, what do you say just now? That's why your secret is safe. Because they don't remember. So when they don't remember, they don't talk about it. But not the men here. The men here are good men. Alhamdulillah. I'm talking the men outside. Anyhow, brother and sister, if you look at this, inshallah, there's so many things to share with you. The time is very limited for me too. Yeah. If you have faith in Allah, faith will save you from all your problems. Just have iman and the right iman. Now I'm going to share with you how to strengthen your iman. The Prophet ﷺ, who loved us so much, was sent by Allah to guide all of us, to remind us, to make life easier for us. It's like a teacher is here to teach you what to do and you follow, it's easier for you. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah wa a'ta lillah wa man'a lillah faqad istakmala al-iman," in Sahih Muslim. Whoever love what Allah love and love for the sake of Allah, and hates what Allah hates for the sake of Allah. You have the right to hate something that Allah hates. When Allah loves good things, you must love good things. If Allah loves the good people, you must love the good people. Even you are not good. But when Allah hates anything that is bad, you must hate what is bad. And you give for the sake of Allah, help people for the sake of Allah, and you do not give, you withhold for the sake of Allah. Whoever have these four attributes, inshallah, his iman is sound, is good. It's okay. Now you have to check, do we love someone for the sake of Allah? Do we love what Allah loves? Do we hate what Allah hates? Do you support what is good that Allah wants you to do? To help the poor, the needy, and so on. Do you withhold whatever you have not to get involved with anything that is bad? If you do that, you have a sound iman. Alhamdulillah. Then what are we going to talk about? We talk about the trial of wealth. In Surah Al-Kahfi, you have ayah talk about the owner of two gardens. A story of a man whom Allah blessed with two beautiful gardens, but the man became arrogant. When Allah gives you more, it's also a test. Some, alhamdulillah, they can control. How you control? Whatever you have in dunya, brother and sister, Lord, don't let the dunya enter your heart. No, your heart must be connected to Allah. The dunya is outside. Let it be outside. When the dunya penetrates your heart, you are gone. When you left dunya, you are gone. The Prophet reminds us. He said, this nation is the greatest nation, but there will come a time when this nation Even they are majority, but they are just like the rubbish, the bubble that float on the water. When there is a banjir, you know Bahrain? You heard about Bahrain? The Bah before the rain. You know? When there is rain, you will see a lot of rubbish floating. The Prophet ﷺ said, the time will come, the fear that Allah put into the heart of your enemy has been taken away. They don't fear you anymore. They don't respect you anymore. They don't honor your right anymore. So the companion asked the Prophet, "Min killati nahnu yawma izin ya Rasulullah." Is that because we, the Muslim, was minority? Our number was little? The Prophet said, "La. Walakinnakum kathirun." You Muslim are majority. You are majority. You are not minority. Trial is going to come because of dunya. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, you are majority. But there's no more quality in you. So the companion heard the Prophet said, because in our hearts, the Muslim heart is been attacked by a virus called Wahnun. There is a disease. There is a virus that attacks the hearts of the Muslim Ummah called Wahnun. So the Prophet ﷺ immediately, when he said that, the companion who are Arabs, they know the word Wahnun in Arabic literally, but they don't understand the true meaning. They ask the Prophet, what is this disease, Wahnun? What is Wahnun? The Prophet said, "Hubb al-dunya wa karahiyat al-maut." Because our heart is too attached with dunya. Dunya has entered the heart. We love dunya, everything dunya, everything money, money talk. There is for money, for people who have money. The second trial is the people of authority, people who have power. They misuse their power. They misuse their wealth. They live dunya, they don't care halal or haram. They don't care. It's not dunya. Khalas. This is another trial. Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us that your wealth, amwalakum fitna, can be a fitna to you. Allah never said that the Muslim cannot be rich. Abu Bakr was a rich man. Osman was a rich man. Yeah. Abdurrahman bin Auf was a rich man. Khadija was a rich lady. There's nothing wrong to be rich. But don't be corrupted. Work hard, have money, and do charity. Don't be corrupted. And don't be stingy, greedy. Don't do that. If you keep on doing it, the time will come, brother and sister, Allah give and He take back. He who give you, He will take it back. Because everything belongs to Him. It's a trial. Dunya is a trial. Your wealth is a trial. Your knowledge is a trial. In Surah Al-Kahfi also you have ayah talk about Musa and Qidir. We all know. There was a time in the, some of the people came to the Sahaba, to Ibn Abbas. They said, no, the story of Musa is not Musa. Prophet Musa is about another Musa. Ibn Abbas said, that guy is a liar. Allah is talking about the real Musa, Prophet Moses. It's not that he was so arrogant because of the knowledge that Allah have given him. When Allah gave him the wahyu, qallamallahu Musa taqlima. Allah spoke to Moses. We know the story of Moses. Read in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Kahfi, and try to reflect. Allah gave him a lot of knowledge. Then one day, his people was asking him a question. He did give them an answer. And it's a matter of the slip of the tongue. Being human, they are also human. They didn't have the feeling of showing off to say that they are the most learned people. They know who is the most learned is Allah. Because Allah said to us, remember, وَفَاقَ كُلُّ ذِي الْعِلْمِ عَلِيمٍ. Above the people who are knowledgeable, there is always somebody who have more knowledge than you. Don't be overconfident with the knowledge that Allah give us, brothers and sisters. It's a lesson learned. This is Moses. If Moses is very arrogant, then when Allah remind him, go and seek knowledge from your brother Qidir, he will never go. Who is Qidir? I don't know him. I'm better than Qidir. If he was arrogant, but he did not. He realized his mistake. It's a slip of the tongue, not that he's going to show off and tell the people, you all are stupid. No, no, no. Among them, compared with Moses, Moses have more knowledge, of course. But then Allah remind him, go and learn from Qidir. You know who is Qidir? Do you know who is Qidir, sister? What knowledge Allah gave Qidir? Ilmu ladunni. This knowledge you cannot learn. It's a gift from Allah. Even Moses can learn. But what Moses was reminded by Qidir is to have patience. To seek knowledge, you must have patience. That's why I said, listen. Obey sam'a wa ta'a. Moses agreed. But when the trial start, when the journey start, he failed to control himself. He asked, okay, you fail. I told you, if you want to seek knowledge to me, you must not ask me. Just listen and obey. Sam'a wa ta'a. The second trial, he failed. The third one, he failed. Then at the end of the day, Allah's will, the Qidir will have to explain to Musa. But what do we learn? Don't be arrogant. The little knowledge that you have, brother, of Moses, I have a lot, I'm comparing just a lesson learned. We who are students of knowledge today, maybe you have more knowledge about the technology, but don't think that you have more experience than your parents. You are not wise. Never, never think that you are better than your parents. Because even your parents, if you give them a smartphone, they are not smart. They cannot smart. I also am using a smartphone until today. I'm very confused. But my grandchildren can play with my smartphone. And I also get worried because it's not cheap, this smartphone. Because we are worried about the money. Children, they don't worry about money. It's a toy to them. But even you have the technology, never think that all the knowledge that you can get from technology is enough. No. But you don't have the experience your parents have gone through. So you must learn and keep on learning. That's why the Prophet said, "Utlub ilmina mahdi ila lahdi." Seek knowledge from cradle to grave. There's no end. I'm still learning until today. I have become a Muslim in 1968. How old am I now in Islam? 1968, I make shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. How old am I today? How old? It's about 40 what? In Islam, I'm talking about 68 until now. Said 49 years old. I'm still learning. I still have my teacher who are elderly than me, who is still alive, mashallah. Am I still learning? I never stop learning. Don't be overconfident. Overconfident destroy a lot of young people today. They thought they know everything. They don't want to refer with a parent. They don't want to listen anymore. Don't do that. Knowledge also is a trial. It's a test. There are people who Allah Rabbul Alameen is going to ask them in the day of judgment, what do you do with knowledge? We say, we have used the knowledge to do this, to do that, to teach the people. I teach the people how to recite the Quran beautifully, even you have the knowledge of the Quran. But the Prophet ﷺ said, اقرأوا القرآن وعملوا به ولا تأكلوا به. Read. The Quran is for you to read and act upon it. Use the Quran as a guidance. And don't make money from that. Because by doing that, you will be a loser. Brothers and sisters, I was reminding myself I should end just now, but it's almost 11 o'clock now. Give me just 5 minutes, inshallah. Then we may have a short Q&A, if Allah's will. We know why I was asking the committee members why they choose the night of Noor. We know that the Prophet ﷺ used this as a reference. I'm going to quote what the Prophet said. مَنْ قَرَأَ سُرَةُ الْقَحْفِ فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمَّةِ أَدَعَ لَهُ مِنْ نُورِ مَا بَيْنَ جُمَعَتَيْنِ. Yeah, the Prophet did also say, whoever recite Surah Al-Kahfi when on Jum'ah, then Allah Rabbul Alameen will give them Noor from this Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah. That means your Noor, you'll be enlightened, guided for one whole week. You'll be protected from the trial, the fitan of Dajjal. You'll be protected from arrogance. You'll be protected from corruption. You'll be protected from the misuse of power and everything if you read the surah with understanding. Just reciting the Quran, you just get the benefit of the recitation. But the Quran will never change you. Do you know that we have friends who are not yet Muslim? They just read the meaning of the Quran. Just the meaning without reciting Alif, Lam, Mim, Zalikal Kitab. They don't know this letter at all, zero. But they want to understand what is written in the Quran. In the language they understand, they read the meaning. After reading for a few weeks, they make shahada. After making shahada, they start to act upon the Quran, and now they have invited more than 100 over friends into Islam. Just by understanding the Quran, they managed to invite 100 over friends to enter Islam. We who have been reciting the Quran, Khatam one, Khatam twice, Khatam three, Kunduri, Nasi Kunin, everything is done. Have you managed to bring one of your friends who are not yet Muslim to Islam, brothers? How about you, sisters? Have you managed to bring one of your not yet Muslim friend to Islam? Not yet. Do you agree with me? How many agreed with me that not yet? Raise up your hand. Raise up your hand. Not yet. Not yet. That means you never, you fail to even call one not yet Muslim friend to Islam. Do you know why? Because we have been reciting the Quran day and night, and until today we don't understand. We have memorized Surah Yasin. We have recited Surah Yasin 100 over time. Until today we don't understand what is Yasin. Then how can this Quran guide you? How can the Quran change you? Because you don't understand what God is talking to you. So please, brother and sister, don't just read, but also try to understand, reflect. The Prophet said again, "Man qara'a surat al-kahfi kama unzilat, kanat lahu nuran yawm al-qiyamah." Now, talking about the nur. Whoever recites Surah Al-Kahfi the way that Allah have revealed it down to you. Now when Allah said read, remember read is not just read with your tongue, with your mind, and with your heart. Be connected. Like what Allah said, "Allabi zikrillahi tatma'inul qulub." Don't you remember by remembering Allah, your heart will have peace. Very relaxing. And do you know what that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about zikr? Allah called this book, "Inna nahnu nazzalna zikra." This book, Quran, is also a zikr. Everything in the Quran is a zikr. Zikr means a reminder. Remind you and me about what we are doing, what we are supposed to do, what not to do, what to eat, what not to eat, what to say, what not to. Everything is in this book. If only you reflect, you will never go wrong, brother and sister. And that's why our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remind us, "I have nothing to leave behind for all of you. I am not a rich man. I have nothing with me. But only two things. Taraktu fikum amran. If you hold fast to these two, you will never turn astray, and no one can turn you astray. Kitab Allah wa sunnatu Rasul. The book of Allah, the Quran, and my sunnah." It is really a blessing, a nikmah, a rahmah. We have the sunnah of the Prophet to guide us. From the day we are born until we die, everything is laid out, covered. You don't have to look to the east and west, north or south. Just look at one man. You follow this one man, you will be saved. And inshallah, you will be enlightened by the nur of Islam. And you'll be enlightened by the whole Quran, inshallah. That's why when Aisha was asked by the people about the character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kana khulquhul Quran." The character of Prophet Muhammad is the living Quran. Be humble. Be trustworthy, amana. Siddiq, be truthful, committed. Lastly, brother and sister, this is really the last one. I also seek you on 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes again. It's not easy for me to stop talking to all the good brothers and sisters, because all of you are listening. If everybody is moving, I also have to move. Yeah? But anyhow, this is the real last one, inshallah. And the last one, I love all of you to follow me, to remind ourselves we all have made a promise to Allah that we fail to fulfill the promise. Do we want to remind ourselves again? What is the promise? If you have fulfilled this, Alhamdulillah. All of us will have a good ending. Follow me. I will start, you complete. I will start it, you complete it. You know why I said it? I believe majority of us have memorized it. That's why I dare to challenge you. I just quote the beginning and you continue. Okay? And I will tell you where to stop. You just read where to stop. Inshallah, I will say stop and then I will explain to you. There is a prayer we recite almost every day. That's why I said that you can recite, but we don't understand. Now, I will remind you and you continue. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاتِ Allahu Akbar. That's why I said you memorize it. Allah is reminding all of us, don't forget, you have been reminding us, قُلْ, say to yourself, إِنَّ الصَّلَاتِ, my prayer, all my prayer, فَرْضْ أَصُنَّ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَلَمِينَ, only for you, purely for you, إِخْلَاص. This organization also named إِخْلَاص. لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَنُسُكِ, my sacrifices. You are sacrificing your time tonight. Alhamdulillah. You spend few hours with us. It's a ni'mah. It's a sacrifice. You come here to study. It's a sacrifice. Whatever you sacrifice, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, your intention must be very clear. وَمَحْيَايَ, my living. Now you are living, meaning when you eat, when you drink, when you dress, when you walk, when you go to school, when you drive, whatever you do in this life is for Allah. You are going to work one day, you work for the sake of Allah. Be committed. Wa mamati, and my death, I'm going to die, you are going to die, every one of us is going to perish, we are going to die. But we want to have a good ending. We want to die for the sake of Allah. Lillah. We came from Him. We are going back to Him. We want to go back prepared. Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. If only every one of us here try their best to focus on this, that we have said to Allah, my prayer, my sacrifice, my living, the way I eat, the way I drink, the way I talk, everything is for you, O Allah, and my dying is only for you. Alhamdulillah. All of us will have a good ending. May Allah make easy for all of us. May Allah enlighten all of us through Suratul Kahfi and the whole Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you still have any problem in the near future, brother and sister, if you're coming down to Petaling Jaya, can come to our center. We do have a lot of activities for brothers and sisters like you, especially on Saturday and Sunday morning from 11 to Zohar time. We have a lot of students who will come all the way from different parts of the cities, and also we have local and foreigners. We have reverts, we have not yet Muslim, and we have born Muslim who all participate in our activities. So it's open for all of you. Get to know where is our center, then try to spend some time with us. Inshallah, we become a good practicing Muslim and Muslimah that will bring benefit to yourself, to your parent, and to the community, inshallah. So before we end, brother and sister, I think there is some, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, inshallah, Q&A. You question, I answer. Inshallah, we open for the second part, Q&A, the fadal.
Jazakallah Khair Sheikh for that powerful reminder. Brothers and sisters, it is now time for the question and answer session. As usual, we have the mic on the left for the brothers and the mic on the right for the sisters. The sisters can also write the questions and pass it to the ushers, who can ask the questions on their behalf.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And forgive me if I wanted to ask, because you say love for the sake of Allah, but my fiance told me it's better that I love him too. So I told him I don't know what's love, because Allah is true love. I don't know, is it like love is butterflies or anything? But I told him it's better that we married first, then the love is later thing. Is it right I do like this, or I should marry because I love him, or what?
Okay, alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can I sit down?
Thank you. Yes, you can sit down, sis. Alhamdulillah. It's a beautiful experience, yeah, that sis is sharing with us. Yeah? Allah give her hidayah. The brother, also Allah give them hidayah. Hidayah is the nur, because Allah loves them. That's why Allah give you the hidayah. Now, the issue is, of course, we must love for the sake of Allah, so that the love will grow. And when you are together, the love will grow stronger and stronger. But if you married a person, without love also cannot. You just cannot marry somebody because you are somebody. Do you love me? I don't know. You must know. That's why the Prophet said, when you want to get married, look at each other. Because love is blind. Is love blind? I have a short story. I have a couple who are blind. They got married, got two beautiful children. The children was not blind, alhamdulillah. Children was helping the parent. After the children reached the age of 20, 22, the father left them. The father left them to get married again. And the first wife is a blind woman, and the second wife also blind. So the first wife came to me and said, I don't know what that my husband is looking at this woman that I don't have. You understand that? Because she also get very confused, because she was blind, the husband was blind, and the husband left her and go for another blind woman. I said, love is blind. That's why it's not easy to understand. But I'm going to say that since we are all want to get married, of course it's good for us to love each other for the sake of Allah. When you say you love for the sake of Allah, meaning when you get married, everybody will have their own weaknesses. You have your own weakness, he will have his own weakness. Nobody is perfect. But because your love is for the sake of Allah, you are not going to look down or humiliate a person because of the weaknesses. You are there to compliment each other. You understand? That's why it's important to have the right intention. Yeah? Firstly, you love Allah. We do not know what is going to happen actually in life. We promise this, we promise that. You know, the sun become the witness, the star, the tree become the witness, live and die together. Yeah, only Allah knows, you know, yeah, whether we will live and die together. But anyhow, we have good intention. Innamal a'malu binniyat. Then you have a good plan. And inshallah, it's both of you got married. And then both of you learn together and grow together, pray together, fast together, do all the good things that Allah wants you to do together, you will see your love will grow. The older you grow, the love will become stronger. This is what we pray for both of you, inshallah. May Allah strengthen your iman, and also may Allah make it easy for both of you. And also may Allah subhanahu reward all of you for your conversion to Islam and strengthen your iman, increase the patience in both of you to face the new life when you are going to be husband and wife. And don't forget to invite me, inshallah. Naam, any next question? Fadal. Any next question from the sisters? No more question from the sisters. Any question from the brothers?
Any question?
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the Masih al-Dajjal, and I want to ask a question. How do you explain the reality of Dajjal presence? Because the Quran didn't mention that thing, and in Sahih Muslim, as Hadith al-Yassasa, some scientists, religious scientists, say that it's a weak hadith. So can you, that's my question.
Alhamdulillah. What the brother is asking also is very important for us to understand. There are some scholars who don't accept the story of Dajjal. They say this is not based on the authentic hadith. There is a book just about topic of Dajjal. And you'll find a lot of references in this book. From all, some weak hadiths do exist, but some very authentic hadiths also was collected. It's a very beautiful book about just the topic Dajjal. Now, when you talk about the Quran is not here to explain everything in detail. But the Prophet was sent by Allah to explain further. It's not that the Prophet is creating a story, because the Prophet was given the prophecy by Allah Rabbul Alameen. So, as a Muslim, we all believe what Allah said, and what Allah said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ brought to you, bring it to you, accept it. Whatever the Prophet forbid you, just stay away. So about the story of Dajjal, Ya'jud, Ma'jud, all is based on a very authentic hadith. But Ya'jud, Ma'jud was very clear. It was mentioned also in Surah Al-Kahfi about Zulqarnain, that I don't have the time to explain everything in detail. You can read it in Surah Al-Kahfi by yourself. Tafsir Ibn Kathir is a good tafsir that can further increase your knowledge about the significance of Suratul Kahfi, inshallah. Wa jazakallahu khair to the question of the brother. We never deny there are some hadith that is not sahih about certain things, but majority of the hadith of Dajjal, the existence of Dajjal, that he is going to come and he is going to create a lot of fitna, and only Isa alayhi salam can kill him. It's true. May Allah accept our iman, protect us from further misunderstanding and fitna. And may Allah Rabbul Alameen make your journey, all the sisters and brothers who came from other university, a safe journey home. And when you go home, don't forget to pray for all of us, for the ummah, for your parents, and don't forget to pray for all the Muslims who have passed away. May Allah forgive all their sins, and may Allah pardon them, and may Allah make them among the righteous people, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So until we see you again next time, inshallah. But if you don't come here, you can visit our center, inshallah. So may Allah forgive us, and may Allah bless us. Wa billahi tawfiqi wa akhir da'wana والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته